This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.
Sure.
All right, Hot Breath-iverse, welcome back to Hot Breath, the show where you learn comedy from the pros. This is Comedians on Skype Talking Comedy, where you get to ask your favorite questions to your favorite comedians. And today's guest is one of my absolute favorites, one of the most unique voices in comedy. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, the very awake, Shane Torres, everyone. Give it up for the yawning Shane Torres.
What's up, everybody? What's up, East Coast? How you doing? This is for everybody, but it's special for you.
He wouldn't do this. We interrupted his morning coffee to get him on the show, everyone. So show some love for Shane here. Ask some good questions.
I'm in high media demand.
You've got all the heat right now, Shane. You've got all the heat.
I got all the hot breath.
Hey, that's right. Yeah, we've had a lot of your friends on here, so it's exciting to get you on here. So.
Oh, they aren't my friends. They're my competitors.
Oh, is that the mindset? Is that how you've been so successful?
No. I'm fucking Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
So I just watching The Last Dance and got all stirred up.
It seems like in listening to interviews of you and all that, it almost seems like you have the opposite approach where you try to be super nice, and a lot of that has actually garnered success. Am I correct in assuming that, or is it all a facade?
I mean, I just think it's good to be nice, you know? Like, I don't, it's not a professional approach to me, you know? You know, like, if people don't like me and I'm nice to them, they can go fuck themselves and I have to be nice to anybody. But, like, you know, like, I believe it's good to be good to people, you know what I mean? Like, I don't like it when people flex or have status, because typically, and I've seen it a bunch, it's like, anybody who's flexing when they have status, if I've known them before, they didn't flex like that. Before they had a gig or a high profile thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's a condition of the business, I think. But and they're not bad. They just flex. You know, they have a little more weight to throw around, so they get a little more. And that's not, like, bad. But, like, fuck that, dude. It's nice to be. It's good to be nice, you know. And I know plenty of people who are very successful. And, like, huge names, and they couldn't be more decent people. So, like, I think you just be nice. Anybody who's flexing can kiss my fucking ass.
Yeah, you've been around people, like, at the level of, like, a Will Smith. So you've seen the top of the mountain. Not the syrup mountain, but the top of the mountain. Like, what was it like being around literally, like, the 1%? If we're talking about entertainment, it doesn't get much bigger than Will Smith. What was that experience like? And did you learn anything from it? Like, what was that whole thing?
Well, it was a thing for Quibi that's not out yet. And we'll see how it does. The current climate has really affected it. But, it was a thing. Will Smith, apparently he did this thing that was very successful on his YouTube page, where he had a bucket list of things he wanted to try in his life, and he was just kind of documenting them and sharing them, and kind of neat, you know? And then one of the things he wanted to do was stand-up. He said he did stand-up, and he liked it, but never wanted to do it again, but he saw that it was very creative and interesting work. And so he came up with an idea for a show, and that's what we all did, like all me and a bunch of other comedians. It's hard to learn a lot from a man like that in that kind of environment, because he's giving his time to so many people. You have to, like, you know, you get one-on-one moments with him and stuff for sure, but you can't monopolize his time. It's not fair. You know, like, it's a little rude and not fair to everybody else, in my opinion. So, like, maybe that goes to me being too nice. Maybe I should have tried to. But you learn a lot just by watching him. Like, I was watching him, and I was like, this guy's a fucking industry. Like, it's insane to, like, watch him and be like, you make everybody a shitload of money. Like, it was wild. Just watch. Because everybody's around. Like, he started this show, and there's... So I was thinking about, like, I think there were 12 comics doing it, and then all the crew and all the staff and all the catering and all the people that are just doing production and people who are writing and shooting. And I was just like, he just did this. He just made this happen.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's fucking bananas. Yeah. So, like, that's a man's an industry. So I'm sure there'd be plenty to learn from him. But he was really nice. And, like, on the second day of shooting, he walked up to me. He was like, how you doing? Good to see you, Shane. Like, you know, like, he seemed present.
Mm.
Which is like a really big thing with celebrities. A lot of the time, I think some of the people I have met in that world are not, you know, like, they're not giving you their attention, but he was. Hmm. Which I really enjoyed a lot from him.
Well, someone
fucking super handsome, like, crazy. Yeah. Like, still in person, like, you're like, I don't know if it's Hollywood magic in person too, but son of a bitch.
He looked 4K in person.
Oh, dude, I'm fucking, we all look 4K. It's just how we look in 4K.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go on the opposite side of the look spectrum to Bert Kreischer.
My buddy.
You've opened for him several times. You've been on tour with him. We had Dusty Slay on here sharing some funny stories of being on tour with him. But he was coming from, he's sober. He was having to drink coffee to keep up. But you seem to be in the lion's den with him, like, out there in the thick of it. But just as a comedian, and all the comedians that watch this and all the super comedy nerds that watch this, like, could you take us into that world of going on tour with Bert Kreischer?
I'll spare you some of the details. There has been... Yeah, you know, it's very interesting, because the man, like, he does party. We all party. But he also, his work is the most important thing.
Mm.
So that's what takes priority. Like, he drinks after the shows, not during or before them. You know, like, maybe if we have a brunch or something, he might have, like, a Bloody Mary. Like, not a Bloody Mary, but, like, that. I've never really seen him drink before shows, now that I think about it. Or if we're having a nice dinner or something, we might have wine. But I don't think I've ever seen him drink before a show, now that I think about it. But he's a pro. You know, like, it's very interesting, because the way he goes, you know, I think in some ways, like, he sells a shitload of tickets and a shitload of people come out. But him talking to as many people, and Bert's one of those people who does not have an ego, and he tries hard to be inclusive.
Hmm.
You know, he sells a lot of tickets after his shows, I think, by being nice, meaning when he shakes a lot of hands and talks to people, it really goes a long way, and they want to come back. You know, like, I think it means a lot to them, and he recognizes that. And then we go to the bus, and we get fucked up. We get on tour bus and have a few cocktails. Then before you know it, it's 5 a.m., and then the bus is starting when you're laying in your bunk, and you wake up and you're just like, guess we're on our way to Wilmington or wherever, you know. Uh-huh. Like, and then
what do you do on the bus?
Yeah.
What being on tour, like, in just the dead time, what's happening?
You know, there aren't a lot to do. Bird shoots a lot of stuff, you know. He's like, he's always like, he creates a lot of content. I will write or try and, like, you know, work on my own career during the day when I'm not working for Bert, in the sense that I'm not, you know, on stage or, like, prepping or anything. You know, like, I'm happy to help with it, whatever, really. But, you know, like, you go on the drive, you know. Sometimes you sit there and watch TV. Like, sometimes it's like a day off, but you have a show, you know. It's not you know, like, depending on how, if the drive is 3 hours and you leave at 10 a.m., like, typically, like, someone will have gotten coffee or have made coffee. People will wake up if you're up. You know, like sometimes you sleep super fucking late and you don't even recognize. You know, like they're like, oh my god, it's 2:30. We were up till 7. You know, that kind of shit happens every once in a while when you go nuts. I'm trying not to have give you too many salacious details. Not that they're. It would. Here's the thing. You wouldn't. You would see it because it's very glitzy and glamoury, man, and it's so fun on the outside. But at the end of the day, on the bus, it's mostly guys talking about dumb shit, getting a little more drunk than they should, and then going to bed. You know, like it's not crazy. You know, like this isn't Motley Crue. You know, like we're not doing. You know, like it's not the kind of like. It's not really the house. It's a good time,
of course,
but it's not like a fucking friend. You know, like it's not. That's not really the house that he keeps and the way he runs shit. You know.
Yeah, that one was interesting.
I mean, like it's fun, and we get fucked up, and we eat a lot of good food and stuff. It's like it's just kind of like being on vacation a lot with getting to do comedy and getting paid. You know, like you eat a lot, you drink a lot, you like. We will go like exercise during the day and stuff, you know, to try and sweat some of this shit out. But, yeah, it's not like there's no fucking nuts store. One night we all made a playlist and we were just listening to like Dion and Jackie Wilson and stuff and drunk driving through the night. And that was super fun. Yeah.
that's what was interesting talking with Dusty Slade.
Like everybody's loaded just listening to fucking old, you know, Bill Bell songs.
Yeah, that seems to be the consensus.
Poor fucking Dusty. I don't know how he does it.
Yeah, but it was like, well, during the day, he's a person, he's a businessman, and he doesn't drink till after the show. It's like, there's a reason he's successful, and it's not because he's drunk every waking minute. It's because he actually does treat show business like a business.
Yes. Well, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
As Greg Giraldo once said, it's show biz, not show fun. Mm. And I was thought that was pretty funny.
That's great.
But, yeah, you got to, you know, like, if we want to have a career, you have to treat it like one. So.
Is there anything, is he like
yeah,
helpful
that's what,
with,
I mean, that's what he does. That's what I'm trying to do.
Like, yeah, is he helpful with, like, does he give you advice in terms of business advice or stand-up advice? Or, like, what have you learned from him from, like, an actual comedian perspective?
He will. Well, you learn by watching, you know, and keeping your mouth shut. Like, there's a lot to learn. And, like I can't really go into specific lessons. But... I would say, like, watching Burt and watching at this level, I think that and having open for other people that are at big levels is that there's it's not just about the stage and it's not just about off stage or something. It's about business. It's about, there's so many facets to it. It's a fucking business. And you creating your content and being a great entertainer is the most important part of this business. But it is not the only part, like by a long shot. Like there are a lot of things that you have to work with good people. You have to work with smart people. Like I remember people being like, I was talking to somebody's manager. And I was opening for them on like a special or something and sitting there and they were like, then like his manager and I were just bullshitting and talking, nice enough person for a suit. And we're bullshitting and talking. He goes, ah, fucking, they had a picture of the comedian up on like a beer ad or something. And they're like, they weren't supposed to do that. We're going to have to, they either have to take that down or we're going to be. Like, we're going to have to ask for more money. It's like, shit like that you don't think of. It's like, that's not a thing I would give a fuck about, really. But that's why those people are there. That's how they're supposed to earn money for you. You know, like, that's to make sure those things don't get taken advantage of. So there's those kind of, you want to work with smart people. You want to work in the right venues. You want to get the right audience in. You want to make the best comedy you are capable of making and then make it better the next time. You want, you know, like, you want to know how much money you're spending. You want to work with openers that – suit your style, things like that, man. It's not a joke. It's big business. Like, so like, that's how you learn. You don't learn, like, you learn other particular lessons, like maybe do this joke this way and this kind of thing, like, and you learn like this bit should flow into this bit this way, and you know those things already. You know, I know some of them already, and then you like think about what you've forgotten. But there's just a million things to learn in this business.
Nice.
Yeah. Sorry, I get wound up. I had my coffee.
You're not. No, please.
Is that what you were looking for?
You are not getting too wound up, my man. That's the info we're looking for, is that kind of insight that isn't available. You know, that's what this show tries to capture, are those kind of behind the scenes insights that haven't really been on record before, because that helps create better comedy and better comedians.
Yeah, you need to focus on getting good. Yeah.
Mm. Focus on getting
good. You have to focus on getting good. It's like, I'm still doing that. And then you focus on, you know, opportunities will present themselves if you put yourself in the position to get them. Then you kill those and you learn, you know, don't, like I've done, and I'm saying this out of experience of having done it the wrong way. Don't treat every event that you get into like a party that you need to get fucked up at. You know, like mm-hmm. go treat it like a business. Like when I went to did New Spaces, I was shit faced and it didn't go well. And they were wrong, but
they were wrong because
they weren't wrong to have me. I mean, they were the people that were there to like supposed to be looking at me for talent and stuff.
Okay.
Who didn't come after me were wrong. I sincerely believe that, but I also didn't make it easy on them when I was shit faced. You know, I wasn't so shit faced I blew an opportunity. Like nobody was looking, so I got shit faced.
Ah, gotcha. It seemed to have all worked
and
out.
And then, though. You know, and then you find a good comic, a good senior comic that'll talk you off the butts. Yeah, we'll fucking see. Using the phrase "it all worked out" these days is a pretty relative term, man.
Well, you're still only, really, even all your success, you're still only just still beginning, in my opinion, in terms of where you're headed. Because what is, and there are, we're about to get into people's questions, but I think a big thing I've learned from being a fan of you and studying you is like being singular in the sense of being uniquely you on stage and off stage, not trying to fit a specific mold or trying to appease to an opportunity. But it seems like you have a natural skill of knowing who you are, having that self-awareness, and just letting that be the magnet where all your success comes from.
I really appreciate that, but I think nothing could be further. I have no idea who I am half the time.
But I mean,
like, I literally have woken up and be like, who is this? Yeah. So, I'll say this, and I think this might help answer your statement, is that, like, I think, my goal has always been this. Pretty, maybe not always, but pretty early on, was to tell jokes that only I could tell, meaning they sounded like my jokes and I sound like me and like I'm writing my own way. And there were times where I certainly did not do that in comedy. Like I did, like very early on, I was like I was just trying stuff and to be overly influenced by comedians I was watching, you know, like, and like, I remember, I think my second set ever, I acted like I thought a comedian should act. And that's like a gross thing, because comedians don't have to act any certain way. You know, they still have to be funny. I think when people say they're not acting like a comedian, it can be also be very bad, because I think that means they don't have to try, and they think that means they don't have to try, and they guise it in bullshit acts like it's not good, but you're like, they can do it, you don't get it, kind of thing. Like if it's too abstract, and nothing is actually too abstract, it's just not executed well, I think, which is what I mean. So like, I think be yourself, you know, like nobody wants to see an imitation of Seinfeld, and I don't want to see an imitation of Bert, you know, like, and like you just want I want it to be interesting. So I like seeing interesting people do new things I haven't seen. Or I like seeing people who have done great stuff make more great stuff.
Perfect.
Nobody wants to see fucking Shane Battier, like, you know, set a pick. That's not why you go to the Madison Square Garden. You go because you want to see LeBron throw a dunk down. Like, they're both important things, but you get it.
Yeah, that's a great analogy too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's get into fan questions here. And this first one, let's get Chase in here first, because he's actually watching from work right now. He's such a big fan. He's watching this from work. So let's get his question.
He's in a place that's open?
Yeah, I think he works at like a car shop, like a mechanic. So I guess they've been working on cars, because he'll tune in from work a lot. So this one from Chase Bonin.
Well, be sure he puts those fucking brake pads in.
Yeah, that's a great... He's probably huddled in the bathroom just waiting on his question to get answered.
Yeah. What's your question, Chase?
Says, first off, I saw you at Club 337 in Lafayette, and it has been the funniest comedy show I've ever seen so far. When you say... You laugh like a bully's friend, or your laugh is haunting. Is
where?
That? Say what? Did I cut out?
Where did he see me?
At Club 337 in Lafayette.
Oh, yeah. I know that. It's a good spot.
Oh, right. I love that place. That's my favorite.
Yeah, J.P. Leonard's room. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. J.P. pops in here a lot, too. Yeah. Yeah, I've done his beer garden show. I haven't done...
Yeah, what was the question?
Club 337.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So...
Yeah, he's the best. I love him.
We have... let me say... Oh, here it is. Okay. When you say you laugh like a bully's friend, or your laugh is haunting, is that written into your sets, or is a spontaneous thing you'll do to maintain momentum?
I have done that with that line. I don't know, I've used that line to build momentum, or like keep momentum in an act. Like when somebody has a particular laugh, you say something like that, but it's really just about it being present. You're like you yourself being present. Like when you hear somebody with a particular laugh, or a waitress drops a pile of drinks, or, you know, whatever, somebody's chair slides to a, if you acknowledge it, you have to be present. Like, that's it. Like, if you are not present doing comedy, then it is not your best stuff ever.
Mm.
You know, like, and like, that is something, you know, I can't say I've done it every night, but I try hard. Like, you... Everybody paid to get a sitter, you know, and or do whatever. And when comedy clubs come back soon, hopefully, people are going to be going through even more trouble and have more on their minds. You need to give them something great. They're still spending their fucking money. You know what I mean? Like, it's why you're there.
So that,
you know, like, you're there to do a great job and be funny for yourself, number one, but. You know, other people are paying for their experience watching you. Yeah. So being in my mind, I don't think they're written really as much as they are just like a little trick I have that I use, which even that I don't know is something I want to be doing anymore, because if it's a trick, then it kind of can become a habit, and then it can become a bad habit. Mm. So like I may like move away from that, not being present necessarily, but like, using lines that are essentially not as spontaneous as they look.
All right. Well, good question.
Yeah, which I think is bad, actually. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, I tried to be candid and pulled the curtain back too much, Chase.
No, that's good to know, because he's a comedian.
Check under the hood for me.
All right. Next one coming from Christopher. Christopher C.J. James. Will Shane Torres vote Guy Fieri for president?
What?
Will you vote Guy Fieri for president?
What's the question?
That's what
no.
the question was.
No. Man, look, come on. That's it. What a dick. That's like, I'm not. I mean, I'd have to look at his policies, I guess. But probably not, man. No, I'm sure he's a sweet enough dude, but yeah, not. I don't know if I want him politicking. We already have one television personality in the White House, and it's fucking dicking us over pretty good.
Are you tired of that?
Yeah.
Are
so
you tired
I'll
of that joke? Like, are you tired of having like talking about that joke?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't care. I don't care. I get it. It's a thing I got known for, but it's like I'm very well determined to not be a one hit wonder.
Boom.
You know, like that's not a thing I want. And I guess that makes sense. You know, like, I'm clearly that makes sense, but like, and I don't think I am. I think that's just the thing. Like, that is a thing that went viral, and people who have only watched that will know me from, which is fine. You know, like, but I have jokes that are better than that joke. That just happens to be at the moment. It's a great bit, and I'm proud of it, but it just happens to be hit at the right time. Not just happened to, but it hit at the right time. It was a good take, and I'm very proud of it. And I think the joke makes sense, and I think it's a valuable lesson in the joke. But I do think I've written jokes that are funnier. And I think if people look at my body of work, and when my next special comes out, whenever that is, they'll see that too. So yeah.
Where did it start? Because, like, I mean, the Conan clip is like a 4-minute bit, but like, what was the first line of that entire bit that really like sparked that? Oh, I'm onto something here.
Oh, I hated going. I thought it was hacky that people used him as a reference all the time.
Okay.
I thought it was an airport. Like, when I would go to comedy and people were just like, oh, you know, like Guy Fieri's like, fuck you, dude. Like, I just, you want to shit on this dude for the exact same thing. The irony of it is that they didn't get that's exactly what they were doing. Is the thing they were making fun of him for creating bad, for lack of a better word, content, you know? And then I thought to myself, it was like, I knew they weren't bad people that were making these jokes, but I was just like, and I thought to myself, the line was just like, well, what did he ever do that was that bad?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and then the line that followed was, then that's where the joke writing came in. And it started there. It was like, you know, like, because as far as I can tell, all he ever did was follow his dreams. And then that's where I really started doing heavy lifting on the joke after that.
So, and is that heavy lifting like pen to paper? Like, well, who else do we treat like this? And then Nickelback comes up. Like, what is that heavy lifting?
There's a little bit, I mean, that goes into the way I think, or other, anyone would think, like, I mean, like, the heavy lifting comes in. So that's a premise, and that's one line of a joke, that part of that Fieri bit. And so the rest of it is like, how do I want to be creative in this bit? And what direction do I want to take this in? Like, you know, like, do I want to make it hypothetical? Do I actually want to research? You know, like, there's a million ways to go about it. And that's where, like, becoming a comedian and peppering your dish of comedy for people comes in. Like, that's not, you know, like, if I could have left it there, you know, and it could have just been a 10-second joke. I could have left it .. and washed my hands of it. That would have been enough. For me, that's a clever joke. He could have done more with that, is what people would have said. But I think I got a lot out of it, you know, like, and I started thinking about what is next? Like, what else is in that world? What makes sense? You know, like, it's just all, you could kind of reverse engineer sometimes, and you're like, well, this is kind of like, sometimes you get so close to a bit in a joke to make, you're making such a good point that just the way you feel about something can support the joke by like saying it. Yeah. Like, and I don't know exactly how to explain it, but I know I've seen it done. If you showed me someone's bit, I could, like, what's next to something? What's next to your subject or your point or joke? Okay. So I'll reference myself. So on my album, I do a bit about weddings. And about people, and the bit after it is a bit about babies falling out of windows. But weddings and babies go together, kind of like they live next to one another in a neighborhood of subject matter, and there's no transition, but like that's a feeling. When I did that, and I did the jokes like that live, and I would do them like that live, and they're that way on the is that one follows the other. It's not hard for me to see, for anyone to see how I got to that from Wedding Nights to Babies. It wasn't like Wedding Nights and then like Tiger King, you know, like I did, or whatever, right, horse, right, you know, like right. They, you know, like you, like, yeah. So that can be an element in a joke.
And even your,
yeah,
like,
so that's what,
it seems how you say things as well, because you did study like vocal performance in college, and it seems like you are intentional about saying things louder sometimes or saying them quieter, and like the intonation you have. It seems like you take it down to that fine, yeah, of an approach, or am I just overanalyzing?
Yeah.
It?
No, I use tone,
oh,
and
cool,
volume. I use tone and volume for sure. You know, but everyone does. Maybe I am a little too inflictive with how I use it. But I know, like, Hedberg used tone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, more, maybe better than most people. You know, like, Lewis Black uses tone and volume. You know, like, Michael Che uses tone. It's just different. Like, I mean, maybe my range changes a little more than a lot of people's, but... yeah, everyone uses tone and volume, like, but it's like that is a tool to keep an audience. You know, it's a tool to, it's a, there's a variety of ways to use it. It's but that is a way an audience stays present when the shift, when your tone shifts. It's a way for you to inflect jokes. It's a way for you to like calm an audience down. There's a lot of weapons with tone. There's a lot of ways to use it as a weapon.
So to calm an audience down, you almost bring your voice down so then they have to listen harder and then go higher when you really want to, like, emphasize something? Is that what you...
Kind of. Uh-huh. You can't. Yeah, I mean, kind of. That's it. But, like, you can also use it to build. Like, I have a 6-minute joke about everything bagels. And the tone is pretty much the same the whole time. But it builds the longer it goes. I mean, the weapon in that joke isn't necessarily the way there's these like massive blistering punchlines in it, but there are these ways that it kind of builds even though it stays the same place. Cause like there's a way to hold people in their pot. It's like, like someone carrying an egg on the back of their hand or something, you know, like you can, that is a way to like build tension. It's just to like walk around, like, you know, like is he gonna hold it? Is he going to be able to keep it? Is it what's coming out? How is this going to change? Like, oh, like, you know, like that's a way to do it.
And when it comes to the physicality side, it seems you're intentional about like having, yeah, your like hand on your hip, and you will kind of like emphasize different, like, I'm guessing that's intentional because I've seen on your Conan and also your other sets. So it's like, what's going on here?
Just it's just, it was like OCD, and then it's just a habit I have. I don't know, man. It is what it is now.
Oh,
it might be a little too late to change it. I wish I could, and people might be like, well, he's not so weird after all. But we'll see if that changes.
Oh, okay. So that's just something, as a comedian, you're constantly evolving, and that's just kind of
a
wrinkle you're
tick.
Working to iron out.
I guess, or I would just say it's just a thing I do.
Okay.
You know, some people jiggle their keys in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people like chew on too. Like, it's just a habit I have, a tick, you know. Some people favor to look to their left than to their right on stage. Some people just are that way, you know?
Cool. Okay.
Some people strut, some people pause. Just a thing I do, I guess.
Cool. Yeah, you see, I go like deep. I like see something and I'm like, but why? So that's why I kinda nerd out on that stuff.
Yeah. No, yeah, you're overthinking that whole shit.
But I wasn't overthinking the voice stuff, so we're on the right track with that. So yeah,
you're 1 out of 2. You're batting 150.
All right. So let's run through these questions here. Sorry, kids. I got a little carried away because just being a fan and just seeing how unique you are on stage, I always love to know the process behind that. This one comes from Aaron Despiva. He asks, do you have any...
Oh, shit. Calm down. I'm blowing smoke up my ass.
All right. So, the next question here. Aaron Despiva, he says, do you have a dream project you would like to do, a sitcom or otherwise?
I'm working on it. I'm working on something, a couple of things. Some of them are not dream projects. Some of them are just things I'm excited about. And then some are like big ones, but I'm holding those close to the vest right now, but I do have them, but I don't like, I have them because like, you know, the dream project is to have a nice life through comedy and perform the way I want and get the things I want out of it. And that comes with assembling other building blocks and making good things.
Cool. Very diplomatic answer there. So let's move on to the next
Thank
one.
You.
Though. That's...
I don't know what diplomatic
it was informative, but still it was like an egg on the back of your hand. We're still like, oh, there's something happening there, but he's not
yeah.
But yeah, that's still good. Yeah, that's good to know though. The next,
I'll tell you this. There's a delay.
Yeah,
there's a delay. So anytime I make a joke, it takes so long for you to laugh at it. I'm like, oh my god, I'm just dying and bombing here. So there's like a real delay on Skype. So like you're just like, and I'm just like, yeah. I'm like, I want to make beautiful stuff. And you're just like,
Right. Yeah, I've noticed the delay as well.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'll say something, and then I'll start talking through what you're saying, probably as we go back and forth now. But I'm on I'm using my phone as a hotspot because my internet has been glitchy today, and I didn't want to risk it. So... We have the glitch anyway, which is perfect, but.
You're in Atlanta, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Are you in Atlanta?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh.
So, yeah.
Give me another question.
Yeah, we got, this was Justin Williams and then John. Yes. All right. So Justin Williams asks, what's your favorite place to perform?
Clubs I mean, you get that question a lot. So the clubs, it's like on the road, it's Comedy on State, Helium Portland, my home club. In New York, it's the Comedy Cellar. There is no greater place. Cities like Chicago, Zanies is great there. The people were very good to me there. And I love Chicago as a city. Boston is great. I like cities, you know, so it's shows they may not know about. I mean, you know about Star Bar in Atlanta. That's one of my favorite places ever to play. Vid Sam Bones Room, the Dragon's Den in New Orleans is great. And, you know, then there's a ton of independent shows that are awesome. But JJ's in Chattanooga is wild. It's super fun.
I've done that, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, like there's a ton of them, really. But they're all different. I mean, this Cellar in New York is, you know, Mecca level stuff.
Yeah, I saw a photo with you on stage with David Tell there. Pretty,
Oh, and Will, and Sylvans.
Uh-huh.
Is the other person in it? Yeah, the three of us. Yeah, Dave brought me on stage. It was pretty cool. That's a big moment. Yeah.
Yeah, no big deal.
It was a big moment. That's a pretty cool moment.
John Barwick asks, was he a manager at Arby's?
No, it was a couple of different local burger, a local burger chain in Texas, and then TGI Fridays. But Arby's is funnier as a word, so I used Arby's.
Nice. Pulling back the curtain here,
yeah,
kids.
Yeah.
Awesome. And, and Chase says he likes how Patton Oswalt uses tone and volume as well. This is cool.
He's brilliant.
Yeah. Have you worked with him?
Patton's great. New special out today, I think. Yeah. We've worked together a few times. He's been nice enough to have me on stuff. I opened for him on the special before this past one, this one that comes out today. I opened on that special. One of my big crowning moments to date in comedy is he did a podcast, and on the podcast they asked him if he could steal someone's joke, whose would it be? And he said Gary Goldman's state capitals joke and mine. You know, and I love Patton. He's like a guy for me, like in comedy, that is like very important. So that was very flattering.
Yeah, the Guy Fieri joke, right? You're saying.
Yeah. It wasn't the ex girlfriend shampoo bottle joke. So, but yeah, it was huge when it happened, and even now, with all this going on, when you think I need to think of some good things, that might be a thing I think of on occasion.
It sounds like we're talking about you getting asked to come on stage with Dave Attell, and like Patton Oswalt saying things like that. I mean, are there any others of those moments that come to mind that it's just like, is this real life type of deal?
It's always flattering, man. Because those people are great. You know what I mean? Like, and they're brilliant. A Gaffigan walked up to me once at a show and was like, he talked to me about the bit. That's flattering. Spending time with people when they treat you as a peer, no matter who they are, that have like had real success, that's cool. It feels good because it feels like you're capable, you know, like they're not just giving it out, and they're not like, I'm good, I know I'm good, but it's nice to see it from people who have had success.
And this could tie into our final question, actually, of who is your biggest influence from the past, and who is another young comic you think people should pay attention to?
I think Sam Evans is a comedian people should be watching.
Okay.
All the time. He's brilliant. He's a good friend, but he's got an album coming out next week called Sweet Baby Boy. People should check it out. And influence, it's, I feel like all my influences have been canceled due to their bad conduct. So, like, I thought,
oh, really?
Say but not all of them. Like, I loved Louie, and I loved, like you love people, you know, so it's just, and that's like, but I mean, they were big for me, but somebody, like, it's a weird question to ask, I think, because it makes you, like, whimsical, and you think about people that did that for you, and they're like, oh, yeah, they turned out to be fucking scumbags. Attell is a person I love. It's comedy I love watching. I love Kathleen Madigan. I think she's great. And somebody who really did it and still does it. And then, like, I mean, I guess they're kind of peers of mine, but Jackie Cation and Lori Kilmartin are both amazing. I would say peers on the sense of, like, we kind of, we work in the same places and stuff, but I think they're just so special. Like, and I remember watching Jackie years and years ago before I'd even heard of Lori, you know, it's just like, this woman is blistering. Like, she's just brilliant.
All right. Well, this has been great, Shane. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this.
Oh yeah, man.
Yeah, this was very nice. Is there any closing advice or wisdom you could bestow upon us comedians before we depart here? Or anything you've learned? How long have you been doing comedy, Shane?
12 years.
12 years? So, I mean, is there anything, because it's even more just like things you've learned along the way. Like, is there anything you've learned that you could, like, share with us to kind of help the next generation of comedians?
I think work hard, be smart, and be nice are pretty simple things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think they're pretty easy to do, and they go a long way. And yeah, I think, yeah, like, work, do it, take it seriously. If you want to be a career, treat it like a career.
Boom. Well, all right. There you have it. Hot Breath of Verse.
Yeah.
Shane Torres, ladies and gentlemen, give him a round of applause.
Can I plug something?
Let them know. I was just about to say where, yeah, let them know everything and how they can support you.
You need to watch Good God tonight on Twitch at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern.
Okay.
Oh, it's my show. I do with a few other comedians. We have a very good lineup tonight. It's on the Hold the Phone channel on Twitch.
Okay.
It's a live stream comedy show. Tim McLaughlin, Michael Fox, tons of great people. Tom Takar from Conan, Phoebe Bottoms, Caitlin Cook from Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Lots of great stuff. Music, comedy, fun. So tune in. I want people to watch it. God damn it.
All right. Anywhere else you want them to go and to support Shane Torres?
Keep an eye out for shit when this all blows over. I'll be back, and I can't wait to see you guys out there shows.
Awesome. All right. Well, Shane Torres, thank you for being on Hot Breath, my man. Hot Breath. This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.